La Push, baby. It's La Push.
Me? A princess? Shut up!
I'll have what she's having.
There's no crying in baseball!
Hey guys, I'm Bailey.
I'm Shannon, and this is take two of Chicks and Flex.
We've already had a restart once, after 55 minutes because someone's microphone wasn't working.
Are we gonna blame? Are we gonna blame my microphone, or are we gonna blame someone's computer?
Don't mess him up. He's fine right now. Okay, he's doing good.
So why is your computer a man?
I don't know. Actually, I just said he, and that's what came out. So. I guess he's a man from River right now. Tomorrow he might be a female. He likes to change it up.
Oh my goodness.
Anyways.
We're going to try to rapid fire some pop culture news that we missed while we were on our little...
Hiatus,
yeah.
For 1 week.
I was in the DR.
Yeah, I was here.
Bailey was here. And then she was on call, so we couldn't record.
I did actually have to go into work, so...
Yeah, it's a good thing we weren't recording.
Yeah.
What
was the biggest news, Shannon?
I
sent
freaking
you.
Taylor Swift and Joe Allen breaking up, or Alwyn, however you say his last name.
I think it's Allen too. Well, we just discovered that we say stuff really southern sometimes, so we don't know how to say things.
But then
obviously.
At the same time, other people call Bailey a northerner.
Or from the Midwest. They tell me I'm from
really?
The Midwest. Which, I don't mind. Midwestern people are nice, right? So,
yeah.
So that can be a negative. It's a compliment, if anything.
From Minnesota?
Wisconsin. Minnesota?
Well, yeah, so Bailey sent me the news, and I was shocked, and Sam said he didn't know what I was reacting to, and he said it seemed like I was reacting to one of my friends either, like, breaking up, getting engaged, getting pregnant, like, something crazy happened to one of my friends, and I was
just
like,
Taylor Swift.
No, Taylor Swift and Joe Allen broke up, and he was like, okay, why do you care? I was like, because they've been together for almost 7 years.
Yeah.
We don't know why. Everything says amicable, but who knows?
There's speculation. People unfollowed him.
Yeah, some of her friends unfollowed him after they hung out with Taylor's. People are like, what's that about?
Which we've discussed in the previous recording that it's very interesting. Like, Selena Gomez has, like, you know, those fans that are
crazy.
A little crazy. And I feel like Taylor Swift's fans are
also crazy
worse.
And probably worse. Yeah.
So... I think it's interesting the fact that her friends unfollowed him. Is that going to make fans
go after
bully
Joe
him?
So I saw some people saying, well, like, Taylor Lautner has always been safe because we know he was a good boyfriend. And like,
because she
know,
wrote a nice song about him. That's the only reason you knew that.
And we know that Joe Allen is a nice boy. Well, we seemingly seem to know that because of all of the love songs they wrote together.
Now you do, but since her friends unfollowed him,
now it's like,
everyone's like, oh, he cheated on her.
Which, like, I don't
like,
think
we have no idea if that's what happened, but, like...
Because all the sources say amicable, so it's like...
Yeah, and it's like Shannon said that in one of our last episodes, like, is it the celebrity's responsibility to, like, control
their fans? Yeah,
which,
I don't know.
No, I feel like you control your own self.
Exactly. But
the celebrity has... their life has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Who they date has nothing to do with her fans. It's not a correlation, nothing.
But if you know how your fans are...
But at the same time,
you... Do
you
have to be more careful announcing a breakup?
I hate that phrase. It's like, you signed up for this.
Yeah,
but like, you... I feel like as a celebrity, you do know...
You know what you're getting
you
into.
You know what it's going to be like. I mean, you may not know, but like, you've seen other people talk about how bad it is.
It's an interesting point, too, because I think from us, like, if we were trying to become famous, like, A-list celebrities, it's like, yeah, we know what it's like. People are going to be in our private life, and this is how we're going to respond. But I think it's like anything, being a parent or being a nurse or whatever, you think you know how hard it's going to be, and then you get there, and you're like...
10 times harder.
Oh, this is way worse. I mean, think about, like, a nursing school. We were like, oh, yeah, it's going to be hard to be a nurse sometimes. And then we get...
We became a nurse, and every single day we wanted to quit.
And we're like, oh my god. And to be fair, we started during COVID, which, like, probably made it worse.
Yeah.
But, like, and I've heard parents say the same thing. Like, yeah, you know having a child is going to be hard. But once you actually have that baby, you're like, oh my god, like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's like that, where it's like, okay, like, I know my life is going to be scrutinized. I can deal with it. And then you actually are dealing with it, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I just find it interesting after all that stuff with Taylor or Selena Gomez came out about Hailey Bieber being bullied by her fans.
That this is how
Taylor that Taylor Swift's friends unfollowed him, and like, I feel like essentially it's gonna be the same thing where fans are gonna be like, I don't like him anymore. He did something to her.
Yeah.
It just, it's interesting because her and Selena Gomez are friends. So have they not talked about this?
I will say, to the majority of Swifties' credit, most Swifties are like, we still like Joe Alwyn. Like, as far as we know, he didn't do anything wrong. We're not going to bully him. Also, like, why are we going to bully this 30-something-year-old man that no one knows personally? That's weird anyway. But there are those crazy ones. And I think it's the same, like, with Selena Gomez. Like, I'm sure most of her fans are normal people. But it's, like, those few fanatics just really, like...
They ruin it for everyone.
I mean, like, even you can look back to when All Too Well 10-Minute Version came out. And people were bullying Jake Gyllenhaal. And we can assume, if that song was truly about him, like, he probably wasn't a great boyfriend. You know?
Yeah. However... But also, that was when Red came out.
Exactly.
Now he might be completely different. That we have no idea.
Album came out 10 years... Over 10 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, that's...
She just released a song she had already written. It's not like she was still feeling these things. There was no reason to bully him. You don't have to like him, but there's no reason to go, like, what is that going to accomplish other than making Taylor Swift fans look insane?
Yeah.
I think that's weird. I wouldn't do that to my friend's boyfriends. You know what I mean? Like, if I have a friend whose boyfriend was treated them poorly, 10 years later, I'm not going to be commenting on their Instagram, like...
You probably just wouldn't talk to them.
No, exactly. I just would ignore them. Yeah. So, like, why am I going to do that for somebody that I don't know personally and that probably doesn't even have beef with that person anymore? It's probably, like, whatever, you know?
Because they probably just don't talk.
No, exactly. I think it's weird.
I just feel like they just don't talk to each other because, like, why would they? What do they have to talk about?
I think the obsession people have with celebrities can be very unhealthy.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm sure I've walked a fine line with various celebrities, but I've never...
I mean, us doing a podcast about pop culture essentially shows that we do obviously look up stuff, but like...
But I'm not out here DMing their exes or their friends
I've
or
I've never DM'd a celebrity.
Right. Right.
One time I also... Did you DM a celebrity?
Well, it was...
Kevin Jonas?
Kind of as a joke. Me and Isabella were hanging out, and I was hosting my Taylor Swift-themed cocktail birthday party where everyone was bringing... a cocktail based on one of her albums.
I wasn't there.
No, you were at the lake house. Because it was near the 4th of July, because that's when my birthday is. And Isabel was like, you should message Taylor Swift to ask what snacks we should have at your Taylor Swift themed party. So I messaged her and she did not respond. Obviously. But it was like a joke. Like, I knew she wasn't going to respond. And I wasn't giving her my personal opinion on her life, you know.
You were just asking what snacks I should have. Also, is like saying how like I feel like social media has like definitely like
worsened
everything.
Yeah.
About pop culture. One thing we have it at the hand, like we have it at our fingertips. We can look anything up instantly, but at the same time, I think it's like fed into that obsession that fans have because they're just constantly looking up the celebrity, whereas like. Before social media, if it came on the news, you're like, oh my God. Like, and you would just talk about it. You wouldn't, like, look things up and, like, dive in.
I remember, like, being a kid or whatever and being at the store with my mom and seeing on a magazine.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, whoa, what? And my mom would be like, oh, we don't know if that's true or not. Crazy, though. And then now, though, the social media, not only is it constantly you can see what's going
updated.
On. But you also, I think it makes you feel like you have a much more personal relationship.
Yeah.
Because, like...
Because you see the pictures they post.
Say this was all happening 20 years ago. Like, I would just look at the Taylor Swift, Joe Alwyn breakup on People magazine and be like, whoa, crazy, another celebrity breakup, that's sad, they were together for a while.
Or you would see it, like, on TV or something.
But now it's on social media. I can go look at her Instagram. I can go look at his Instagram. I can go, like, it feels like more of a friend. Like, it feels like... Oh, like, we follow... Well, she doesn't follow me, but, like...
She doesn't follow anyone.
I follow her on social media. Like, well, this is a personal relationship.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to be careful. Like...
Yeah.
You can't let yourself get too deep into that. Because it's tempting, I feel like. I don't know. It's crazy. The psychology of people now with celebrities versus, like, 20 years ago, I think, is very different.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah.
But also... Yeah, I don't know. And then other pop culture news was also kind of crazy, like Drake Bell going missing.
His wife filed for divorce.
And then he gets found and was like, why is everyone freaking out? I was gone for 12 hours. And we're like, probably because you're creepy, Drake Bell. Also, his name is Jared. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. They were like, I didn't really watch Drake and Josh that much. I mean, every once in a while I did, but like it wasn't like a show I watched a lot.
Timothy Chalamet
and Kylie Jenner are together, which I don't like it, but I don't know either of them.
They
so
could be perfect for each other. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know him. I don't know her. It's just a very interesting couple, and I don't know why I don't like it.
It's
don't.
Like Pete Davidson dating Kim Kardashian. It just doesn't make
sense. It didn't make sense. Like, yeah.
What are you guys talking about? You know what I mean?
Are you convinced that that was, like, all a publicity thing?
Probably.
It was very interesting at the time. I don't know.
I think it's just to get people. And honestly, I feel like a lot of their relationships are all about publicity.
Probably.
I think a lot of just celebrities in general. I think a lot of Taylor Swift's, like, boyfriends were for publicity.
Some people say they were because they were only, a lot of them were for 3 months.
And then an album would drop.
I'm
convinced her and Harry Styles was complete publicity.
I could totally see that because they seem friends now.
Rising stars and young and, like, they were, like, the it couple. You know
I will
I mean?
Say that, but, like, also, like, some of the songs were about him.
But also, it's like that, just like maybe she wrote songs just in general.
And they kind of related to
And we're like, oh, like we can make this about him.
Yeah, that is that is true.
People think that Selena Gomez and The Weeknd were publicity because like he had an album coming out like right after they broke up. Who knows? That's the thing, is we get so invested
really
in these relationships
know.
And we have no idea if they're even real relationships.
I mean, you're
or
right.
Not.
What else happened that we were talking
about? Love is Blind.
Camila Cabello.
Oh.
And Shawn Mendes were spotted at Coachella.
That's
making
cute.
Out. Yeah.
I like them.
I like them too.
I don't know
them.
Yeah.
I like them together before.
I don't
so.
Actually really listen to either of their music.
I don't really either.
I
don't really listen to Camila Cabello, but I have listened to Shawn Mendes a few times.
I think I've like heard
a few
their songs.
Yeah.
Camila Cabello, does she do Havana? Is that her?
Yes, I think so.
I like that song.
Mm-hmm. She used to be in that. She was from the X Factor, you know.
Oh.
She used to be in that. I can't even remember their name, but she used to be in a girl band, essentially.
I did
girl
not
group.
Know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I think it was Simon Cowell. Put them together.
Was it One Direction X Factor or Britain's Got Talent or
something? No, it was X Factor and Simon Cowell put them together.
Hmm.
Which is so funny because I was like, I saw like a random TikTok of them singing.
It wasn't that good, was it?
It wasn't that great, but it's funny because I feel like they grew.
Yeah.
Like, they became better singers, as most people I feel like do.
Well, you look at even, like, Taylor Swift when she was, like, 15.
She also was country, though. I feel like you have to like...
No, it's totally different.
Yes, because her sound has completely changed.
Yes, but if you look at just, like, raw, like, small concerts she did, it's not that she had a bad voice.
She just wasn't as great
as
she is now.
It wasn't great, you know? And now it's like, whoa, her voice is really good. And
I was thinking the same thing, because, like, Harry Styles,
he's
really good now.
Yeah,
but I, like, when you listen to him early on the X Factor, it's not the best singing voice you've ever heard.
You're about to hit your microphone with your
arm. I know.
Arm.
I didn't, though. Calm down, lady. Gosh.
We had enough microphone problems today.
Whose fault is that? Just kidding.
Yeah. It is interesting. I think that's normal. He was also in high school or whatever when
he
got... Yeah,
they were all young.
I think anyone who starts out as a singer in their teens
is
going to get better over time,
I feel like there's something else we said.
We talked about Love is Blind, but that's not that important. It was just late coming on Netflix.
Yeah,
and
it
was freaked out. We talked about the Twilight show, but
that's
not really confirmed. But
there's speculation.
There might be a Twilight show, which we have mixed feelings about.
I love Twilight, but I don't think they need to recreate it.
But
right
we're gonna
now.
Watch it either way.
Oh yeah, I'm 100% gonna watch it.
Well, maybe we'll host a live watch party on Instagram.
I also don't think that they could ever. Sorry, I'm yawning. I don't think they could ever replace Billy Burke as Charlie, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, Shannon said they should do a whole new cast, like people we don't even know.
Oh yeah, like
I
new
agree.
Actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be a lot better because I just can't see any of them being replaced.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them I could, but like the main three.
They should get the director who did the first movie.
Catherine.
To do all of them. To do the show.
That's right. I can't remember her name.
Catherine. Somehow. After she left, after the first movie, it's kind of went downhill.
Yeah. The first movie was just different. Something was just, like, different.
The blue screen.
It. Yeah. But they did do that for all the other ones, though, to be fair.
They were, like, kind of different they colors, did, though.
They were supposed to go... They were supposed to be different colors, I think.
Yeah, but...
Supposed to go along with, like, the feeling. Like, the next the one was, like, was more the, of a yellow for the wolves.
The blue was the best, though.
Yeah, I mean... The first movie will forever be the best one.
That could have been a standalone movie.
Way better than the last two, honestly. The Breaking Dawns, I didn't think were that great.
Anyway, we're going to talk about... This is very related to all the like paparazzi stuff we've been talking about.
You want to do a trigger warning?
Yes. We're going to talk about the Brooke Shields documentary on Hulu. I do want to do a trigger warning that it does talk about sexual assault. A content
warning? Is it called trigger warning?
I think either one.
Okay.
Be content or trigger. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, what are you saying?
I don't know. Don't listen to me.
Anyway, a content trigger warning that there is sexual talk of sexual assault of a minor and of an adult and alcohol abuse. Yeah. So keep that in mind. But Brooke Shields, the face of the 80s, although she doesn't want to be called that, I don't think.
I don't know what she wants,
well,
honestly.
She just mentioned, like, I want to know what my life would be like without just being, like, beautiful. You know, like, that's what my whole life has been about, physical appearance.
Yeah. So we were trying to figure out, like, we both didn't really know that much about her.
She was a little before her time.
Yeah, I knew her as the mom in Hannah Montana.
I just thought she was a model, honestly. I didn't realize she was an actress. I knew she was, like, in an episode of Friends.
Yeah. She was in this, like, recent Christmas movie, almost like a Hallmark movie that came out in Scotland.
It was, like, I knew her name, but, like, didn't know really much about her career or her life until this documentary, which was really well done. I really liked
it. Shannon's going to get her mom to watch it, though, because...
I want to see if my parents... Like, I want to know what their opinions of Brooke Shields were... When she was the star of the
80s. Born in 64, I think.
Like, her and my mom are almost the same age.
Yeah.
And so, I'm curious if my mom, like, loved her or didn't like her or, like, what. And I mean, you should see her reaction to the documentary.
Yeah, you should see her reactions to, because I was telling Shannon before our podcast got messed up, but I was telling her, we're seeing it as this day and age where, like, that's really not accepted.
Yeah, like, what they were doing to her.
Yeah, what they were doing to her is not really accepted these days. But at that time, like, was that just the norm? You know?
It seems like it.
Yeah.
So,
I just, like, right off the bat, she's doing that interview with one of the guys.
Yes, and he's saying, like, you look so exquisite and beautiful, and she's... A kid, like
she's she looks a child,
like 12 or 13.
Yeah, I don't even think she was that old. I feel like she was a little younger too.
Yeah, and she looks uncomfortable. Like
she does in every single interview she does too. It's not just that one. Like anytime they say anything to her, she'll like do. It's a fake smile.
She does.
It
that
looks
smile.
Like a fake smile.
She does that smile and giggle that we all do when we're in an uncomfortable situation where it's like
where you don't really know how to react, but you're like, like, I guess I need to just being move polite, on. Yeah,
but it feels weird.
It's something that I feel like every girl is taught, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like, and I don't even know if you're necessarily taught it.
You just learn it.
It's just, almost. Like, something you pick up that's what you do if you're in an uncomfortable situation. You're not, I feel like maybe that's a Southern thing, too, for sure.
I think being in the, I do think, like, it's heavily Southern in that we're very much raised to be polite no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think it also is, like, just being a girl, not saying, like, obviously, like, men in the South are also, like, polite, you know? But, like, I think there's a whole nother level when you're, like, if you're getting complimented by, like, a random man in public and you don't know how they're going to react. If you know, I don't know. Just, like, when you're in an uncomfortable situation, you're just like, haha, thanks, hee-hee, and you're, like...
Yeah, and you kind of just, like, move on.
Right.
You don't really say, I'm uncomfortable, don't do that to me. Which, you should have every right to say that, I think.
It's that thing of, like, you don't want to offend somebody.
Yes.
You know, and, like...
Yeah.
It was a grin, giggle thing that I recognized very well. You know, that I think we've all done and all seen other people do. Whatever the situation is where you're uncomfortable.
Yeah. So, also, like, her mom just,
not
like,
a great mom.
Killed me. there's a part... Where they're talking to her about you know, exploiting her daughter and everything. And she says, she literally says, like, she's a beautiful girl, like a painting, and I think she should be viewed as that.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I'm sorry, what? Like,
and her mom is trying to say, oh, these pieces that are sexualizing her as a child are artistic, and they're pointing something out. And it's like, that's great, but she's a child.
Yeah.
She does not understand
what she's doing.
What she is doing and how this could come back to haunt her later.
And that's not just us saying that. She has said she didn't understand.
Right.
Because what was going on in some of the scenes because she wasn't
educated
on it. And then, like, I just don't, how can you, you know, send your daughter to go do these roles? Because you're thinking, at like 10 years old, she's not going on looking in to see what films are happening. I mean, is she? Like, I don't know. She didn't say that. Her, I'm assuming her mom is looking at these films.
Her mom's her manager.
And saying, this is a great role for you, Brooke. Like, go try this out. And then she tries it out, and then she gets the part, and, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Because there's, I mean, yeah, I just don't get it. Like, you can't just send, if you're going to make your child go into a role like that, at least explain to them what's going on.
But even still, like, if you are a child, right, and you're still, like, young enough, you're not a teenager yet.
Yeah.
You're, like, 9, 10 years old. You're still in that phase where you, like, worship your parents a little bit. Not worship, but, like, you're like, my parents would never do anything wrong. They wouldn't do anything that would harm me, so I'm going to do what they're telling me to do. And even if her mom's sitting there like, this is what it means, like, you're going to be doing this sex thing, and it's this artistic thing, and it's showing how it's wrong, you're going to be like, okay, that sounds great, mom. Sure, I'll do it. Whereas, maybe, even as a teenager, still like, ugh, but, like, if she was, like, 16, it'd be like, actually, mom, like, I do understand that a little better now, I'm not going to do it. You know, it's like, she's so young that, like, even if her mom was explaining to her what sex was and what she was going to have to do in this movie, she's still too young to consent to it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because it showed her nudity, you know, like...
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
I don't know how that's even legal.
She was 10, I think, when she did this. Or she was 11. Yeah, she was 11 when she did this movie.
And it's like...
And she was nude, like, in two scenes.
Yeah, that's what she said.
There's also a scene where I think she's, like...
She kisses a 29-year-old.
She kisses a 29-year-old. That's her first kiss ever.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know.
And the director's, like, yelling at her.
Yeah, because she's scrunching up her face because she doesn't obviously really know what she's doing.
Yeah.
And he keeps telling her to relax. And then she says that the main actor took her aside and was like, it's fine. Like, this doesn't count as your first kiss. I'm like, what?
Why are you doing it? Why are you a 29-year-old?
I mean, I have seen, I've seen where kids come on and they say they've had their first kiss on screen.
But usually
it's usually someone their age. Also, I do think that's wrong. I just don't think...
That your first kiss
your
should
first
be...
Your first kiss should be publicized like that. Yeah. I mean, it's a little sad to me. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe they felt otherwise, and, like, if that's how they felt, like, you know, that's their feelings.
I just feel like that's sad. Maybe for some people, it's like, oh, I got it out of the way. I don't have to be nervous.
Yeah.
But they're usually, again, like, 15, and it's with, like, another high school age.
It's with
person.
Another kid that's their age. It's not... a 20-age difference
right.
between them, which right. is just, like, crazy.
And yeah, so it's just like, don't... why do, like, stage parents do that? Like, I think they're living vicariously through their kids.
Well, they are, I think. And
they're using them to pay the bills.
Yeah, so she is... Every single interview, she's with Brooke, and they ask her if she's exploiting her daughter, and she's like, no, I'm not. I don't think this is exploiting... She's an artistic being. She's doing these films because she wants to. We've talked to the director, blah, blah, blah. And, like, Brooke's not really saying... I mean, she'll be like, yeah, you know, whatever. But here's the thing. The way that Brooke describes it is that she would do a project and they'd get a new car.
Yeah.
She'd do a project, they'd get a bigger house.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, she's doing these things and you're... The mom is getting something in return. Obviously getting a new house is nice, but like you said,
and it's
a child doesn't really care.
Yeah, and it's like, that's so much pressure to be a little like elementary school age student.
And she was the breadwinner.
And you're the
family.
Breadwinner. Your mom doesn't have a job, you know? And so So it's a lot of pressure.
And I heard, so here's the thing, her parents were divorced, her dad was a conservative Catholic.
And that's what we're confused on.
I just don't understand.
Was he, like, unaware of a lot of stuff? Or was he just in such denial that...
Well, she has a stepsister, too, that she was talking to. Yeah. And she's, like...
And they seem close.
Yeah, they do seem close. Like, her dad is in her life. Like, it's not like he's, like,
that's what was also confusing, is she would randomly be like, oh, yeah, it's just me. Always been just me and my mom. Nobody else. It's like, but you do see she lived with
her
dad.
Yeah, I think she lived with her mom, though.
Yeah, no, I do think
that. And also, there's a point in time where she says, like, it would be kind of crazy with my mom. We'd be doing these things all the time. And then I would go over to my dad's house and be super calm, dinner at 6, dressed up for dinner.
She was like, I liked being there.
It was, like, very, yes. So that was an, I'm like, this is just weird. Like, I don't understand the dynamic. It's weird that her dad
never stepped in and was like, you can't, like.
Especially being a conservative Catholic and, like. Yeah,
that was weird.
You're letting, your daughter's in a movie called Pretty Baby nude at 11 years old. It's
like, did he not, maybe he didn't. Realize what the movie was going to be about. Well, that's what his
stepsister was saying, too. Like, he didn't watch any of them. But, like, you don't have to watch that to...
Right.
To know what it's about.
I think he was somebody who, like, if you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know? Like, just unhealthy coping. But it's like, you need to stand up for your daughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't
know. Because that's... It's just not right. Like, there... And she was even... shouldn't be...
Yeah. Yeah.
And for her to be so sexualized as a little girl...
And she was so innocent in real life, talking about waiting till marriage, and, like, she didn't really even know what sex was. It's so, such a weird dynamic. And
so I saw, like, also, like, when she was, like, starting to, like, you know, become famous and everything as, like, a little girl, like, you know, women liberation was kind of, like, not starting up, but, like, kind of,
the
like,
second wave,
you
know,
Roe v. Wade was, like, coming out, RIP, but, anyways, I guess they went, because of, like, women were becoming more, like, liberalized and everything, they started moving towards little girls becoming sexualized, which is messed up.
Because they were talking about, like, in the 60s, it was, like, women, like, Marilyn Monroe and Audrey Hepburn, like, these grown women were sexualized.
Yeah. And then they started having their own voice, and
then suddenly it's these teenage girls.
Who can't speak for themselves.
Which is, like... interesting.
And I feel like at that time, it's, you have to, like, remember too, it was mostly men. They were saying it was mostly white men in Hollywood at that time who were making these movies.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are we sexualizing little girls, but it's these white men who are doing it. And we're okay with this? Everyone's okay with this? Like, nobody's like... This is wrong?
Like there were no women in Hollywood at the time that were able to, like, stand up for these young girls. You know, like, it was just people make, like, it was these men making decisions for them, and then their parents, their moms, letting it happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just doesn't make sense.
So people were talking about the film Pretty Baby. And it's supposed to be based on prostitutes in the 1900s and these young girls.
They were saying it was supposed to, like, show how wrong, like, make you uncomfortable, but, like...
Yeah, there was, like, different conceptions on what the movie was supposed to really tell you, and, like, yeah, they did say some of it's supposed to be, like, how wrong this was, that these girls were being sexualized and sold in prostitution, but then others were like, this is essentially, like, a porno movie,
Because, like, I guess the movie wasn't explicit in that... This is showing it's wrong. So it's kind of leaving it up to the viewer to decide.
Because it's based on a book, I think, is what they said. So the book was written by a female, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
I think you're right, actually.
I feel like they said that, right?
Yeah.
Now, the director was a French man who did it. And there were interviews with Brooke, and it said they were like, you looked very uncomfortable in behind the scenes. Like, were you uncomfortable in this movie? Like... No, she was uncomfortable. Like, she had to be uncomfortable. She didn't know what was going on. Like,
and yes, and this is when she has to kiss this 29-year-old man, and she's 11. And I'm like, did you guys have to show that on screen? Or could you have alluded to the fact that this character kissed this grown man? Because I don't think you have to show it. Movies do that all the time, where it's like, as an audience, yeah, you know that these characters had sex, but they didn't show anything.
That was like the whole Game of Thrones thing when the Sansa, rape scenes,
they could have just talked about and they didn't have to show it. Right, like, we didn't need to see her kiss that man to know that they kissed.
Yeah.
It's something that you can allude to.
You didn't need to see her in any nude scene to know that she was a girl prostitute.
Right, like, you can make the audience uncomfortable enough by just alluding to it and not showing it. You know, like, people are already uncomfortable with the idea of that young of a child being in prostitution. You don't need to show us to make us uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like, they were just doing it for their own gain, I think.
Yeah, I really don't understand what, I guess, the point of the movie was.
Yeah.
Like, what were they trying to show?
And, like, the whole time her mom is asked about this movie, she's so nonchalant.
She says, we talked to the director, we've made it very clear, there's very distinct rules on what's going to happen. Okay, but, like, she's still 11.
And then, I mean,
she's 11 acting as a 20-year-old in this movie.
And then a few years later, we have Blue Lagoon. She's still a child. But
she seemed to really like that movie. When Brooke Shields was talking about it, she was like, this was a movie that, like, kids my age actually went and saw. It was very a coming-of-age movie.
Like a sexual awakening.
Yeah, but also she was only, like, 14 when she did that. Or she was 15.
What I'm telling you, they were naked. Her and this teen boy, I think he was a real teenager, too. They were literally butt naked the whole movie.
Yeah, they were really.
That's so, like, you should not be 15 years old and be naked in a movie the whole time. And that shouldn't be allowed to be seen in public theaters. Like, or in any theater. I don't know what the laws were then. But, like, you cannot be naked and under 18 now.
Yeah.
On screen, you know? That's illegal. So, I don't know.
Another thing about her mom, too, I felt like the Blue Lagoon movie, she didn't really mention her mom as much being there. But, like, she was talking about how, like, you know, all the sexual stuff her mom was, like, fine with, but her missing tutoring sessions or school was, like, a no-no. Yeah.
She'd be like, oh, if my tutor, like, if we didn't have time to meet up on set.
Her, like, mom would be mad and, like, complain.
And then she was like, but when they were using me sexually, she never said anything.
Yeah, so it's very weird what her mom considered wrong.
Right.
For children versus what she didn't.
Right.
So we're like, I mean, like, she's saying that, like, her child needs an education. Yeah, but it's okay to use her in that scene over there without her clothes on.
Right.
It's really
very weird.
Yeah.
Then she's in this
jeans. Also, it's also weird because didn't they only pick her for the French one because he saw her
in remember.
I think he said that, the director. I think that's creepy. Something like that. He, like, saw, like, a picture of her or something and was like, oh, she would be a good role. That
director.
Yeah. Makes you wonder about all of them.
Yeah. That 29-year-old man who was okay kissing this.
Who told her not to act like that this isn't her first kiss or whatever.
Yeah.
But did you also see that, like, she was doing all these scenes and she was saying that she grew up Catholic and that she kind of did feel shame around them?
And she had to dissociate.
It's just very interesting.
And then she's, like, doing these Calvin Klein jean commercials. A 16-year-old. Still under 18. And, like, they're making her pose in all these, like, very sexual ways and, like...
The craziest part, though, is that she didn't see it sexual at all.
No, she was like, oh, it was real acting. It was cinematic. I finally got to be a real actor.
She didn't see any of the scenes that she was doing in any sexual manner at all. And they were. One point, she literally says, there's nothing between me and my Calvins.
She also, like, unbuttons the top of her shirt at one point. And like,
she's doing these, like, weird poses.
I mean, these commercials got banned on random TV stations. Now, they weren't showing anything, but it was very much alluding.
Yeah.
To sex.
And there's a scene where Calvin Klein is doing an interview with, I don't even know who it was. Maybe it was Barbara Walters.
Yeah, something like that.
And she's saying, like, you're using, you know,
a teenager.
Teenagers for these really sexual scenes. And he was like, so I'm being a bad boy or something like that.
Yeah.
What? So you know it's wrong. That when you when people yeah. say stuff like that, they know it's not the right thing.
They can get away with it. He got away with it. I mean,
he literally he was like, "So I'm a bad boy." Like, that's my that's the crazy. So you know it's wrong. You're still doing it, and nobody says anything.
Mm-hmm.
But his sales skyrocketed. So we're just gonna buy these drinks.
That's right. It was like he's literally selling. Like we all know, sex sells. All these commercials use sex to sell stuff all the time. We can talk about if that's wrong or not, whatever. But the difference is, it's usually grown women, grown adults, choosing to be in these commercials.
Yeah.
She's 16. We shouldn't be looking at her in a sexualized way because she's 16, is a child.
And Calvin Klein, obviously a big name brand, is coming to her. Any girl would probably say yes.
Because if your dream is to be famous, like, you have to do what you have to do. And it's just wrong. Like, I mean, she's selling them to adults, not even to people her age. You know,
like, I think they were going to teens, though.
So. Well, I think teens were buying them, but they were very adult commercials. But
they were, and Calvin Klein is super expensive. So I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
Legit, like, when they were talking to these teenagers, like, they were like, $1,000, $2,000, my wardrobe. Also, at this time, or even before that, there's a lot of, when she was doing interviews with her mom, a lot of them were asking about her mom's looks, and she had dry skin, sunken eyes, and they were saying, these are signs of an alcoholic. Is your mom an alcoholic? They're asking her this in front of her mom, for one. Yeah, it's
weird.
She's like, no, she has allergies. That's why her eyes are like that, and she has dry skin. Knowing full well her mom is an alcoholic at home, and like,
and it's like, who asks that in an interview anyway? Even if her mom wasn't there, like, what if I just went up to you, Bailey, and was like, is your mom an alcoholic? Like, that'd be so weird.
Yeah, like, it would be like, it'd be different if it was like concern coming to me, like, hey, is your mom, like, do you have,
which I know she's not, like,
but like, this is on television.
Right.
Her mom's sitting right beside her, and they're asking this girl, this little girl, is her mom an alcoholic, and how does she deal with that?
Like, that's weird. Yeah. She's also, again, a child. She shouldn't have to deal with her mom's alcohol problem.
Now, her mom is an alcoholic. We did, you know, she does say that. Her mom was an alcoholic, and when she did drink, she became a different person, she would say.
Yeah.
And so she was pretty much taking care of her mom. Yeah.
And there's, like, and then they come out with all these, like, makeup dolls that are based on her face, which is kind of creepy, but, like, not that, I mean, I guess
it's not a lot of celebrities done that. Have
those kind of, I think it's creepy.
One Direction dolls.
Yeah, that's true. I just think it seemed creepy to me, because she was still a kid. Like, she was still a teenager.
They were, like, the Barbies. Yeah, where you, like, fixed her hair and did her makeup.
But then we get into this, like, lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about distributing nude pictures of her. And in my head, I'm like, pretty sure she's all under 18. Like, someone taking nude pictures of her? Yes. And not when she was, like, 16. Still wrong. Don't get me wrong. When she was 9.
They're not, like,
years
pictures
old.
That someone just, like, randomly took of her, like, in her house. Like, these are professional pictures that were done by a photographer.
That her mom consented
for,
to.
For, like, a Playboy.
Yes, that's for, like, some weird Playboy thing of a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Not even double digits yet. 9 years old. And she said some of them were sexual poses. Some of them weren't. And again,
the problem also, too, that she was, this is where I was, like, I don't know what was going through her head, but it wasn't even the fact that these pictures were going to be leaked of her at 9 years old doing these, or that they were even taken in the first place. It was the fact that someone she knew was going to release them. Mm-hmm. Like, someone she trusted was going to release them. That was what she was really upset about. Which I find that really interesting, because, yeah, that sucks. Like, it's someone that you thought you could trust, but also, like,
well, it was
you're 9. Yeah. They should never exist in the first place.
No, yeah. It's like, they were going in this book, and she was like, nobody cared about the book, whatever. It was like a small market thing. And then it's like a few years later, this guy's like gonna, oh yeah, he was gonna sell them as like, oh, this is what Brooke Shields looks like naked, you know?
At 9 years old.
Because she was famous now, so he wanted to get money. And it's like, she's 9. It shouldn't have been legal for you to take these and publish them in the first place.
So I think what happened to is her mom ended up trying to sue him.
Yes, but her mom is the freaking one who consented to the pictures in the first place.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the questions you see them, she had to go up on the stand.
Yeah.
Because it was a lawsuit. And they were like, his lawyers or whatever were questioning her, like, so you weren't trying to seduce him? And she was like, no.
You weren't sexually, like,
you didn't want to be
a sex symbol.
And she was like,
she's
no.
Nine. Like,
she didn't know what that is. I mean, when you're not everybody, but like a lot of 9-year-olds are still just like, don't even see being, well, that's what she says. She didn't even see naked as being sexual yet. Like, a lot of 9-year-olds are still like, don't even view being naked as like a sexual thing. You're kind of starting to get to that age where you have shame and you're not just gonna like run around naked like you would when you're like 4.
It's like,
but you're still like a little like, oh, it's not that big of a deal to be naked because I'm a kid, you haven't hit puberty yet. Like, it's like she has no concept of what's going on. Her mom is telling her to pose naked. This photographer is someone they know and trust.
I'm also like, when this photographer takes these pictures, he owns them.
Right.
They're his now, which I think that might be what ended up happening. Like,
she lost the lawsuit.
That might be why they lost, but like, how is that not considered having child pornography?
No, that's what I don't understand. Like, I don't know.
It should be because she's A, not dressed.
B, posing. There are pictures sexually. Of her. Yeah.
How does that not consider child pornography?
Because think about, like, you know, everyone has those pictures of them when they're, like, a toddler naked in the bathtub.
Yeah, and you can't put them on certain social media sites. They censor them.
Right. But you get to a certain point, well before you're 9.
Can't take those, yeah.
Where your parents stop taking those pictures because it's not cute anymore. It's, like, creepy. Yeah. Probably by the time you're, like, 3, no one's taking those pictures of you anymore. You know, like, it's weird.
Yeah.
And so that whole situation is messed up.
Yeah.
I don't know if the laws on child pornography were different back then. Like, I don't know if the child pornography laws are newer. Who knows?
Yeah.
But the fact that they were legally published in a book and then he could sell them legally later, I feel like if he did that in this day and age, like, he'd be in prison, right? Like, that's what I don't understand.
I don't understand it either. Like, I don't understand how any of that was legal. I don't even understand how her being 11 and being nude was legal. I don't understand how any of this was okay.
It doesn't make any sense. So maybe those laws are all newer. Like, maybe they just didn't exist yet. But, like, I don't know. It's weird to me. Like, that part was the most shocking part to me, I think, of the whole documentary.
I just find it, like, okay, why is it, like, the industry, you're able to do stuff like that? Because if anyone were to go make a movie, a at-home movie like that, it would be considered a porn. It would be considered child pornography.
Yeah, it doesn't
But then sense. Again, someone who has director status in filmmaking can go make this movie and it be considered artistic. I don't understand the difference.
No, And then she's in this other movie, Endless Love.
Yeah. It's also like a coming of age movie where
they're
like experience stuff for the first time.
And it's like showing her face during the sex scene and she's not making the right type of faces.
Yeah, the director's like yelling at her.
Even says the director's telling her to like look like she's in ecstasy and she's like, I don't know what that means. She's never had sex. She doesn't know what any of this means. Yeah.
It's pretty messed up.
And then he literally pulls and twists on her toe to make her make these faces. And she's like, it was supposed to be these faces of ecstasy, but like I was in pain. He was hurting me. And her mom just was there and let it happen. He's literally hurting her to get this perfect look.
Yeah, it's very wrong. I don't. And the thing is that he said it in an interview. It's not even like this was a hidden thing. He literally said it. They were having an interview together, and he said that he did this.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone just was like, okay.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how nobody was like, wait, you did what?
Yeah.
To this 15-year-old? You did what? To get her to do what? Like, how is that not put into question?
And then it's sad because she's now talks about, like, she's, again, still a child. Like, so much happened in her childhood. She's, like, having to confront her mom on her alcoholism.
Well, I think that also that endless love scene was when she said that she started disassociating herself because she just couldn't mentally handle what was going on because she didn't really understand it at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then, she confronted, and her mom kind of almost seems like she was trying to guilt her. She was like, I'm not doing this for me.
Got her godmother, which I don't know who her godmother is, but she got her godmother to like find this treatment center for her mom. And her mom said that she was going for her, not for herself. And she was sober for like
a month,
if that. She said it could have been a week.
She was like, it could have been a week.
But then they did interviews. It's so interesting too. They did an interview where they were talking and she was like, yeah, I'm like sober now. I'm like much happier. And you can just see Brooke Shields like looking at her. And, like, mm-hmm. you can tell it's fake. I don't know. I just, like...
Yeah.
It's all a lie.
And then, like, one positive, she gets into Princeton.
Yeah. Which people were surprised. They thought that she was dumb.
Yeah, they were like, oh, you can't be, like, beautiful and smart.
Smart, yeah.
The classic. And, like, I was just, like, imagine... Like, I guess she was, like, one of the biggest celebrities of the time. So just, like, imagine, like, walking into college, sitting down at your desk and, like... next to you is like Selena Gomez your it's like crazy, like,
yeah.
But she said she felt very isolated because no one wanted to be friends with her.
I think how to make friends either. I don't think she'd been just with her mom
when she said that, like, everyone was nice, but it was like people didn't want to get involved with, like, oh, like that's Brooke Shields, you know. And so that's sad.
No, it is.
But she would call her mom, like, 5 times a day.
Yeah, she was, like, talking about how she missed her mom all the time. She would call her 5 times a day. Right. And she did say one of the best things her mom ever did was that she was thinking about dropping out and coming home. And her mom told her, like, you know, I miss you too. Like, I don't know if she told her that. But she said she could just hear it in her mom's voice that she wanted her to come home. But her mom said, like, if you do this, you'll regret it, essentially. Yeah. Like,
which I agree, that's probably one of the best things
mom could have, like, done. You'll be mad at yourself that you didn't stick it out.
Yeah.
And so, like, after that, she ended up, like, joining, like, a bunch of clubs.
And she ended up having it. And I think it was a different level because she even said me and my mom hadn't cut the cord yet.
Yeah.
But I think everyone's freshman year is hard.
Yeah.
You get more homesick than you expect. It's kind of weird. You're like, I want to go home a lot more than...
Especially if you're not making friends.
Right. So I do think that's not that uncommon to be homesick, but to call your parents that much.
Yeah. Like... So there's also this part where it's really sad that it took her going to college and, like, a professor, like, pointing this out to her. I like how they say hypotheses.
Oh.
Anyways, there's a professor that was asking her, like, what is your hypothesis, is what they kept saying. And she was like, I don't know. And they were like, I see you underline stuff in class. Like, at the end of class, I'm going to ask you what you underlined, and I want you to tell me.
Yeah.
So he did this, and at the end of, like, she's, like, telling him everything. Like, they went into this long discussion, the whole class did, and the teacher was, like, essentially, a professor was like, you need to trust yourself, trust what you are saying and everything. And she said that was, like, the first time that someone was, like, validating her own opinion.
I think, yeah, just believe,
like, wasn't just listening to her. Like, taking what she said into consideration, not just making decisions for her.
I also wonder, like, what her major was. It doesn't say.
I don't know.
But also, it's...
Did you see that interview, like, the one interview, though, where... He was, like, talking. He was like, yeah, she seems to be doing great. She got an A in anatomy, her own anatomy. What? Like,
ew.
Why would you say something like that? It's not... That I don't think is that funny. Like,
these hosts could get away with everything back then.
Yeah.
Anyway, then, still in college, I guess, there's, like, this weird tell-all book, but she doesn't even, like, write it.
Oh, yeah.
It's called, like,
she, like, On My wrote Own some, or something. Some stuff, and then other stuff she didn't write, and...
It was, like, she was, like, excited to write this book, but then...
They changed it all, and she ended up just saying, write whatever book you want.
And then she said the only part that was, like, kind of me was me, like, saying I was a virgin.
And
like,
her mom is the one who told her to say that.
Right, and she was like, I mean, it's the same stuff I tell my daughters now, is, like, don't do anything
you don't want to do. Yeah.
Like, you don't have to feel pressure. But then, and she said it was, like, half a page. Like, it wasn't even a chapter in the book. It was, like, a very small part. But that's what everyone was talking about. was like.
Yeah.
And then it's like suddenly her image changes. She's no longer this like sexual blah 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 blah.
She's a prude.
She's a prude. And they're like making fun of her. They're like, oh, she's Hollywood's the oldest virgin. Yeah. She's 20. That's well, that's young. Like and then
so there was that one lady who kept talking. I don't know what she was from, but she had like a lot of thoughts. She was because they had different people talking, like interviews and stuff, on this documentary.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was saying that it's always the thought that the public owns celebrities, like women in particular.
Yeah.
And it's all like rooted that if they start like going away from like the public eye or like changing their like demeanor or manner or whatever, mm-hmm. it always makes people anxious because they don't have control of women.
Hmm.
So I think that was celebrities.
Yeah.
You can kind of see that with Taylor Swift, though.
I was about to say, when she changed from country to pop, it was like, people acted like she murdered somebody.
Yeah. It's like, when women start having a voice, which is what Brooke Shields did after college, the society doesn't know how to take that as, like, women having control of their own self. They don't, when women are in power, people don't know how to feel. They're like, we don't know what's gonna happen. Women are crazy. So yeah.
Yeah, and you just see it a lot in this documentary, and like, you know, people can deny it and say it's not just women, it's also famous men, which is sure true. Like famous men have their own struggles, but it's different, you know, like you're watching these hosts, these male hosts of these TV shows in the 70s, whatever decade, 80s, like saying these horrible, inappropriate things about Brooke Shields, this child, and no one bats an eye. No one's giving them a hard time about it. You know, or these men in Hollywood having different girlfriends every 5 seconds, and no one bats an eye.
It's also very interesting how like, some women don't see stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every person has their own perspective on things that happen.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes your perspective falls in line with another female, and then sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I don't like when people...
Totally dismiss.
Dismiss people's perspectives.
Yeah.
I just... Yeah, that just makes me...
Well, and I think in this same conversation, I think the same woman was saying, like, you're either...
A slut
or a prude. Yeah. You can't be both. You can't be neither.
There's not a medium.
There's one or the other.
And it's still true today.
I think that is a constant plight because I remember in high school, I'm not famous. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I, not
are
nearly,
you not famous? Really?
I'm not.
You're not a girl from Chicks
and Flicks. The same level as Brooke Shields. But I remember conversations where it would be like, oh, and like, I'm gonna, you know, I wasn't perfect. I would talk crap about people. You know, you're in high school, you're trying to fit in. And it's like, oh, like, I heard she did this with her boyfriend. She's a slut. It's like, okay, she is in high school. She's learning about whatever. And she has one boyfriend and does this one thing. All of a sudden, she's a slut.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, and then on the other side, you hear, oh, I heard she wouldn't even let her boyfriend do this. Like, what a prude. Yeah. It's like, and I remember in high school, I'm like, you have to make a decision on what you're going to be. Are you going to be a prude?
Yeah.
Are you going to be? And it's like, that's not fair because you don't. Why isn't the conversation that it's not, why is it she had sex with her boyfriend, she's a slut? Why is it not he had sex, you know, like.
Why can't it just be that she can have sex with her boyfriend one day and not want to do it with this other guy the next, but that doesn't make her a prude?
Yeah.
Or she can do stuff with her boyfriend, or she cannot. And it just is what it is. It's not like, and why does it have to be a label?
And it's always like, she didn't let her boyfriend do this, so she's a prude. Well, what do you mean she didn't let him? Like, he's a part of this relationship too, and no one's talking about what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's like, yes, I am grateful to be a woman today. I do think it's a lot better than when Brooke Shields was going through it. And I think we have a lot more freedom, but there's still so many double standards like that still exist, and that's what this documentary is kind of saying, like,
well, I also,
here it is exposed in front of us.
I was also talking to Shannon before we even started recording, and I was like, there's such a fine line on women expressing their sexuality and when it's okay to start doing that.
Yeah.
Because at one hand, sometimes we're saying that, like, you know, at a certain age you can do stuff. But then other times you're saying, well, that's too young. They don't know what they're doing. They don't have any, like, clue of what's going on. But also, like, we've talked about, like, your frontal lobe isn't developed till you're 25. So, like...
Yeah, like, do you wait till you're 25? Are
you saying that you're not... But then at 18, you're saying you're a legal adult and you can make decisions. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, a fine... Like, when is it okay? I mean, obviously, in her circumstance, it was not okay anything that happened to her. But, like, as far as, like, women expressing their, like, sexuality and feminism in general... Feminism itself is just being able to do what you want, whether that's expressing your sexuality or not, or, you know, being a stay-at-home mom or not.
Right.
Being a...
It's being taken seriously as a person and not just as, like, an accessory.
Yes. So, like, when people are complaining, like, you know, like, oh, well, she's a stay-at-home mom. She's, like, still, like, you know, doing what they did in the 60s.
She's anti-feminist. It's like,
that is a feminist. She's, if that's what she wants to do and she wants to be a stay-at-home mom and not work and just take care of her kids, which is a job in itself, then that's what she's doing.
Yeah. Or
if she wants to be a career woman and not have kids, then that's fine, too. That's literally what feminism is. I think people don't see it as that sometimes.
I think sometimes the feminists that get... shown on media are, like, very extreme, and, like, that's now what people view as feminists.
Yeah, it's just women having a choice.
This certain way, but in reality, it's just, like, having a choice and being equal, you know? And, like, I think we're much farther along than we were in the 80s when Brooke Shields was going through all this, and I think children actors have more rights now, even though it's still messed up, I think, in a lot of ways for children actors, they do have more, like, they're not gonna be in these naked scenes when they were 11. Like, there's no way that would ever happen today. But it's just, like... It's just so sad to think that, like, she had to act this way to get her career.
Yeah.
And, like, how many people had to go through that? You can look at, you know... I can't even think of her real name. Like, Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. What was her name? Judy Garland. Judy Garland's mom. Right?
She had such a bad ending
and
in her life.
It's, like... all of these stories, and it's, like, it's just exhausting. Like, it's sad, you know? But anyway, that was her whole thing. It's, like, at first, everyone was criticizing her because she was so sexual. And then she's getting criticism for being a virgin. It's, like, what do you want her to be?
Yeah.
You know? Also, she becomes friends with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here. She's, like...
That whole scenario, I was, like, this is weird.
She was, like, it's great to have this friend. But then he asked if we could adopt a kid together. And then he told Oprah that we were dating
and she had a boyfriend.
And we weren't. And then
she was like, I called him up and was like, what are you doing? Like, I was literally with my boyfriend as I'm calling him.
And then she was like, we lost touch after that. And it's like...
Well, she kind of made it seem, too, that whenever they hung out, he wanted to do it in public.
Yeah, like, he wanted this image of...
Also, he was 6 years older than her. Can we just point that out?
She was like 13. Yeah, like, that was weird.
That's weird. Yeah, the whole friendship was, and then you had that scene where Eddie Murphy was like making fun of it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Then so she has this boyfriend. She gets her first boyfriend and loses her virginity to him. And I think it seemed like she had positive experiences with him, that he was understanding.
You know what I was thinking the whole time? I was like, did he, like, consent to this being publicized? I was thinking that. I was like, did she talk to him?
I don't think they ever said his name, though.
They did.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure they
said it. They probably had to get consent.
When he was, like, doing the interview with her, I remember she was doing that on TV, and she was like, he's right over here. I think they said his name.
Well, I'm sure
she was like, he's in Princeton.
I'm sure they covered their legal bases. But...
Yeah, I just was like, ooh. But she didn't say anything negative about him at all. It was all positive. A positive experience with him. And, like, he was, like, the first boy that, like, made her feel
She had sex with him, and, like, she said she afterwards, like, ran away.
Yeah.
And he was like, whoa, like, I'm not leaving you. Like, you're still the same person you were.
Yeah.
And I think that shows you, like, even though she was in these hypersexual movies at such a
She had
age,
no idea.
She had no idea. And she was still, like... a part of this, like, purity idea that she wanted to be pure, and, like, it's so sad.
It's just so confusing that she was so sexualized and she really didn't understand what it meant.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just kind of crazy to me.
And so I guess they break up. I don't know. She just, like, Just yeah. elements.
It sounds like it was just a college boyfriend.
Like a college fling. They probably did it for like a first year. Love. And yeah. But I was happy that it seemed like her first boyfriend was just like a good
Guy. He was
like he didn't she didn't say anything negative.
No.
But he was
She was like, I don't really understand why he stuck around, honestly. Like
he she said he was very understanding of like her life and people wanting to get into her private life and that sort of thing.
So after college, she kind of took a 4-year break from anything.
Yeah.
And that, I think, really...
Kind of like...
Yeah, it took a toll on her career, for sure.
And she... This is when she meets with... I don't know who he was. Some guy.
Which one?
And he takes her to a hotel.
Oh, well, she was trying to get, like, back into it, because a lot of the interviews she was doing...
He was in the industry.
Yeah, he was, like, a Hollywood producer or something. She was trying to get back into everything, because... She was just doing commercials at this time. The last movie she did didn't really do that well. And people were like, did you peak? Did you already peak? Like, is that the best you can do? Like, when you, you know. And so she meets with this, like, guy for dinner thinking like about it's a movie.
And I guess it's like, she was saying, I need to get a cab. And he was like, oh, okay, like, come to my hotel. We'll get a cab from there. Yeah. And she said she's just standing in his room. And then he comes out naked. And then she said from there, she just dissociates. Like, she doesn't fight back. She doesn't consent. But she just, like, kind of... lays there and
I think she I feel like she did say
oh I think she said no. I don't want this
I think yeah, yeah right. She said it like one time and she was like I thought that would be enough but it wasn't
and he was like oh whatever and then he finishes and he's like right see you around and then she calls her security person
who she calls Gavin who was like it was head her main security it was her main head security person and he was like a brother to her and she's like talked about she was like he was like one of my best friends And she tells him what happened, and he was like, Brooke, that's rape. And she's like, no, it wasn't.
And she said she just didn't want to believe that. Like,
yeah.
And it was sad, because then Gavin was like,
He was so upset about it, and, like, he was like, I was just so angry. Like, I didn't know.
And, well, anyway, he was like, I just wanted her to know she didn't do anything wrong, and it wasn't her fault. And then he said, I think she knows that now, but I don't know. Like, it's like they never talked about it again.
So, well, she talks about it in that, I don't know who she was talking to. It was one of the friends when she was sitting on the couch talking about it. And she said at that time, she almost, and she was like, I think she was like, this is kind of bad to say, but she almost felt cool that it happened to her.
Oh, she felt desired or something.
And she felt validated that she was like, she had made it, essentially. Yeah. Which, as she's saying this, the person's like, Brooke, that's awful. Like, that's bad. And she's, like, saying, she's like, I know, but, like, that's how I felt.
How messed up the industry was.
At that time. You have to, if you're raped, you feel validated that you made it or something. Like, that's so sad.
And it was really sad. And I'm glad she had supportive people in her life, but it's, like, I don't know, it's sad. And then
she said that she was like, also she was like, was it her fault? She was drinking wine at dinner.
The same,
she was like, I went back to his hotel room.
The same thing we hear over and over is like, well, she was drunk or, you know.
The stuff that's like, no, doing any of that just, it's not giving consent at all.
Yeah.
Because you have a glass of wine at dinner, that's not giving you consent.
She said she was friends with this guy, like, they had gotten dinner together before, and it was nothing had happened.
She said that, and during the dinner, she was like starting to realize, like, oh, this isn't like a movie dinner. Like, this isn't talking about a movie. This is like different. So then that's when she was like, I'm gonna get a cab and go.
Yeah,
it's just like, also that's just another thing of like when you're in an uncomfortable situation.
You don't know how to get out of it.
Sometimes you don't know how to get out of it. That's like when all the Me Too stuff came out
and. When you're just being polite to the point that it hurts you, you know, like, you know, and it's sad.
Also, she said that this was, like, the first time she'd ever talked about it. And she was 22, I think.
So it's been, like, over 30 years.
Yeah.
So then she meets Andre, tennis guy. I've never heard of him, so.
He's won the Wimbledon.
I guess he won the French Open. Personally, I've never heard of him.
I think. Personally.
Can't be that important.
Evidently, he was, like, the greatest when she first met
him. Like, he kind of, like, he understood what it was like to be in the public eye and, like, have a weird relationship with your parents and, like, that sort of thing. So they get married, and her mom's upset because she's losing Brooke, you know.
Well, and also they talk about pretty much what she did was her mom was very controlling. She essentially just replaced her
with another controlling person.
But it's almost like she needed to do that to get away from her mom.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And they talk about she gets on the honeymoon plane, and it's like all his staff, all his people. None of her people are...
Yeah, there.
Are there. And it's just kind of... They enter this relationship, and she says, like, we should have just been friends.
Been friends. They should have never gotten married, is what she says. Because mm-hmm. there's that episode in Friends. She's in with Joey, and he got, like, so mad he... And he sounds abusive, honestly.
Yeah, he, like, broke...
He broke all of his own trophies, so...
And it's the episode of Friends where she's, like... Crazy. Someone... She's, like, obsessed with Joey because
she's supposed to be, like, a crazy ex-girlfriend that's still in love with him.
Well, she is obsessed with him because he's an actor on that soap opera or whatever. And she likes the character. And I've seen the episode plenty of times. I love Friends. And it's like,
funny. I was, like, laughing as I was watching it.
It's funny, and she's, like, obsessed with him, and she has to, like... bite his hands or something. But
they also told her to, like, take it down a notch. Like, she was doing it
too much. Well, she said she was, like, laughing too much. And she was like, no, I have to act insane.
Because that's the way the character was written.
And then, the thing is, too, like, again, this is, like, Friends is, like, a sitcom on, like, regular TV. There's no nudity.
In front of a live audience.
There's nothing crazy going on in Friends. Like, you might get a kiss or two.
Yeah.
All she does is, like, bite his fingers. And I guess that, like, Andre sees it and, like, freaks out. And it's like, dude, she's an actress. Like, this is what it is. Yeah. And you okay? She even said that he had said he was fine with the whole episode.
Yeah.
Like, he understood the concept.
Well, also then, after, like, they get divorced, I think this is when she enters her, like, comedian
era. Yeah, she, like, does a sitcom.
She does, like, a bunch of sitcoms. And you know what's interesting is that they were saying that, like, a lot of people think that women can't be pretty and funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, well, if she's funny, she has to be ugly.
Yeah.
But if she's pretty, she can't be funny. It's so ironic because I just picked up this book that's called Romantic... I think it's called... Is it called Romantic Comedy? And it's literally about that. It's kind of like a makeshift where this girl works on... It's not called SNL, but it's like SNL where they do mm-hmm. skits every Friday. And the whole thing is that all these men who are funny and like kind of like looking, they're not like the best looking men, get these like supermodel girlfriends or wives. Mm-hmm. But then the women who are funny, who are just like normal average looking, like, you know, can't get anyone like that.
Yeah.
But it's very similar to what she was saying.
Well, I think, too, you hear it a lot, like, oh, they're either... And this is about either...
They marry up.
Oh, well, I was going to say, this is, like, about... Oh, yeah, like, the... Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear this about either gender, I will say. People are like, oh, you're either hot or have a good personality. Like, you can't have both. And it's like, why is that such a stupid... Like, you can... be hot and have a good personality, or you can be not hot and have a bad personality. You know what I mean? It's not like a set combination. And so it's funny that they said that. It's like, yeah, people do think that. Like,
yeah, that's...
In general, like...
Yeah. Then she meets her husband.
We love Chris.
Yeah, her current husband, who she's still married to.
They've been married for over 20 years.
They looked really cute as a couple, too. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you guys are adorable.
And it was like, she was like, it was the first person I could just be myself with. Like, yeah. I could be funny, and I could be sexual, and I could be intelligent. Like, she could be everything she was.
Yeah.
They get married. Then they are having fertility issues, and I'm like, she can't catch a break.
She had, like, they did IVF a lot, and they lost a baby. I feel like they lost more than one, probably, but...
She gets pregnant.
She finally gets pregnant.
And then has a traumatic birth.
She has said from, like, when she's a child that she...
wants to be a mom.
Well, yeah, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I just want to be a mother.
And you know what? We're going on a lot of tangents this episode. But
there's a lot of stuff to dissect in this, like, thing.
I feel like, too, like, what we were talking about, like, sometimes I think people who are, like, you know, on the news talking about feminism are like, oh, careers first. We have to have these career goals. And, like, I will say, like, my big goal in life, like, I do want to be a mom. Like, that's, I don't really care about my career that much. Like, I've never.
See, that's yours and that's not mine.
Right.
So it's like.
I've never had, like, a big career dream. Like, I think I'd like to write a book one day, but it's not, like, this dream I'm set out to do. But, like, I know that I want to be a mom.
Mine's more so, I don't have, it's not a career dream. Yeah. It's more just, like, I don't want to be tied down in that sense.
You
want to
have
options. I want to have options.
To live your life.
But, like, you want to have a family, right. And that's it. But like, that's just our different perspectives.
I do think that people like almost like look down sometimes. It's, I think, honestly, more so from other women a lot of times. Like, if you say, like, oh, my goal is to like be a mom, they're like, oh, that's it. Yeah. That you're like, you know, like women don't have to do that. I'm like, yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But that's like what I've wanted. Like,
yeah.
That is part of my like something I really want to do. And like, I think. Her like saying that is because you see in the interview when they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she's like, a mom. She has to like then correct herself and say, well, I also want to be an actress.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't just say like, it's, I feel like you can't always just say I want to be a mom because people almost like look down on you like, oh, like typical, you know? And it's like, why is that a bad thing?
Well, it's also kind of like sometimes you grow up in that mindset. Like you, I feel like that's where the misconception, I think, of feminism comes in, is that some people took it as, like, well, feminism is women not wanting to be a mom and wanting to have a career instead.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, it is that, but it's also women wanting to be a mom and staying at home and taking care of the kids.
Being a mom being taken seriously, because it's, you know, like, it is hard.
I feel like it's also... I think it's hard because women were, that was like the highest standard they were held to at some point in life.
That used to be like a woman's worth was being a mom. Like if you
and
don't,
so yeah. I feel like women who don't want that to be their worth are the ones who like, were like,
they don't understand, I think, why.
Why some only want
still
that.
Want that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I kind of think we're like, sometimes it's hard to see different perspectives in that area, but again, like I said, everyone has their own way that they want to live their life, so.
Yeah, but they have trouble getting pregnant. They do finally have a baby, but she said it's a very traumatic birth. She lost a lot of blood. It was an emergency C-section.
Nothing, like, went according to plan.
Right, and then they get home. And she wants nothing to do with the baby. And everyone's like, oh, it's just like, you know, baby blues, that sort of thing.
This is the point I was like crying at. Because I'm like highly convinced if I ever have kids that I'm going to have postpartum depression. And I don't know why I have that.
I've had that fear a little bit about myself.
Like, I don't know why I think that, but like.
But I think it's...
I think it's because I'm on the edge of having kids. Like, I don't necessarily know if I want them, but then at the same time, I'm
like... I forgot to say you're on the edge of having depression. I was like, oh, God, Bailey.
I don't think I need to admit that on here if I was feeling that way. But...
I was like, oh, no, we're about to have a pause and, like, have a heart-to-heart.
No, I think it's just because I'm on the edge of, like, if I want kids or if I don't want kids, and I'm, like, highly afraid that, like,
if I decide to have kids, feel, like, regret or something.
I would feel and be like, I actually don't want them.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a fear that every woman can have because
your life
I don't want to stereotype, but 9 times out of 10, if you have a kid and, like, the men can leave. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a fear. Like,
you can be stuck with the kid. And, like, like I said, I don't want to stereotype because I, you know, but, like, most of the time, that's kind of what ends up happening. And, like, it can happen to a man. The woman can leave the man with the kid. But it's just, like, one of those things that, I don't know. Postpartum depression is so scary. Like, I'm, like, terrified of it.
Dang. I'm terrified of...
Amniotic
fluid embolism, dying during childbirth. Anyway.
But she has, and like nobody really knows why she doesn't want to hold the kid. Nobody understands why she doesn't.
Finally,
like her husband doesn't understand, like he sees all these other women like singing to their kids and he's like, why don't you sing to her? And she's like, I can't. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, it's not like she's like wanting to hurt the kid. She's like afraid that like something's going to happen to the kid.
She was like, I kept seeing these bad things happen to her, and like, it's not that I was gonna do those things, it's just like kept imagining it.
Well, it's also crazy because it took a doula to be finally like,
I think you're supposed to, but I'm like, so
was she not going to the doctor? Like,
I think too in like the 90s, like,
I mean, I, yeah, I'm sure it was not very prominent.
I think
at this
now
time. Was it, it was the 90s
because
was it?
Maybe early 2000s. It was either late 90s. Oh no, it was
her
early
kids
2000s.
Look, her kids look younger because
she
us,
got married
yeah.
in 2001, so yeah, early 2000s, but still 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as prominent as it is now, like, conversations about postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even now.
Well, yeah, so the doula was like, hey, I think you have postpartum depression. Would you be willing to get on medication and seeing someone? And she did.
Anyway, so she ended up getting on medication, and that helped
and
her out.
Writes a book. And goes on Oprah and talks
and she
about
was
the book.
Seeing, I think she was seeing a psychiatrist, too. I don't
yeah,
think it was just, like,
she
medication.
Did say that. She said she saw a postpartum psychiatrist.
Yeah. Which, and mad respect for them. I really didn't actually know there was a postpartum psychiatrist.
I know.
Did you know that?
We should research those before we have kids. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm telling you. We gotta watch out, okay? If you have kids, I'll look for the signs.
Okay.
And if I have kids, please look for the signs. I'm terrified I'm gonna have this.
It
I don't
is
know
scary.
Why.
But Tom Cruise, he gets wind of this, I guess.
He and, did he read her whole book? Like, and did
like,
he just read the back and say, oh my god, she said she has
I'm also like,
hormones.
Were people
issues.
Asking him his opinion, or was he just like, sharing it.
I think he was just sharing it, honestly.
So, he gets on these talk shows and he's like, she's spreading misinformation. She's on drugs. I'm like, they're prescription.
She's on drugs.
She doesn't need to be promoting drug use. She just needs exercise
there's
and vitamins.
He says no such thing as hormonal imbalances.
Yeah. And
which,
so,
can we talk about the fact that he has
doesn't even have these hormones?
Male body parts. Okay? He cannot carry a baby.
And yet he's telling...
And yet he's telling people that this is not real.
And...
Ooh. And he's not even in the medical field.
No, and he didn't go to Princeton like she did. Like,
why do they even believe in Scientology? I just don't
I'm
understand.
I'm not entirely sure.
Why is it called science? I just, like, I really don't know what they know.
We're not going to talk too shady about them.
No, I'm not talking shade.
Scared.
I just want to... I'm not talking shade. I just don't know what they... I don't know what they believe in.
No, me neither. But
I'm like, does he think that gives him the credibility to
who knows?
Discuss medical? Because even doctors were like, Tom Cruise? That's incorrect.
No, all these medical professionals were like, actually, Tom Cruise, you're wrong. You're spreading misinformation.
And then he had to come out and apologize.
He did apologize. So I guess good for him. But she then writes a rebuttal, like a very eloquent rebuttal of like explaining what postpartum
and
depression
and
is.
And the New York Times.
And it's kind of funny because Oprah, like, is like, so you don't think vitamins and exercise would have cured your postpartum depression? And you see all the women in the
and
audience,
and she goes,
like,
what? I'm being serious.
Yeah, all of the women in the audience are, like, laughing and rolling their eyes. So it's like, you're, like, Tom Cruise, listen to women who have actually experienced this. Like, it's terrible.
It's well, it's just... also crazy because I feel like once she... came out with that book, then she got like a lot of response like from like women like
saying thank you for saying
yeah
this.
Because I've felt this way too and
because
people they were talking they were like there's this myth about when you become a mother
it's like an instant bonding
you instant have bonding you instantly know what to do and that's not true.
You know, that's my fear of becoming a mom is that I don't think I'm very
maternal.
Right. I love kids. I think I'm good at talking to kids, but I don't think I have like a natural maternal energy. And I think
I hate when people say, "Oh, when they're born, you'll know."
I'm like, "Will I?"
You'll have mother's instinct.
Will I?
But like that's the thing. It's like that's kind of what's that thing we learned in psych? False affirmation kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, kind of. I think too.
People
like, say
people
that,
stop saying
but
that.
Times are also, back in the day, more than 50, like probably 100 years ago, before that, like, when you had a baby, like, it was like a village, you know what I mean? Like, it was
a
community
celebration.
People
yeah.
were helping you. Now I think you're much more isolated and alone with your baby, and I think that that's really
especially
scary.
During COVID. I think, too,
yeah.
when you had a baby and you... If you wanted to go back to work, you literally couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You were working from home. I think that probably changed a lot.
Yeah, I agree. And but she said that she started getting letters from women who were like, thank you for saying this, I experienced the same thing. And she suddenly felt like, oh my gosh, like I wasn't alone. Yeah. Like, a lot of women experience this, and like...
Well, you saw her, she talked to her stepsister, or, I mean, what she might just call her a sister, but she talked to her stepsister about it, and that's kind of when her stepsister was like, no.
That's not normal.
That's not normal to feel that way.
Yeah.
But then again, it's kind of like, what is normal?
Right.
I mean, yeah, her situation obviously was not normal.
I think it was more like, she was probably saying to her stepsister, like, yeah, I have all these crazy feelings and blah, blah, blah.
No,
her stepsister was like, you shouldn't feel that way, which is true. But I think it's affirming to be like, okay, I'm not the only person who has felt this way.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the most common, even if most women don't feel this way necessarily, yeah. There's still a lot of us out here who do. Because the hormones after birth are in, like, go up and down and change.
Your body is completely out of whack.
Right.
I mean, it's, you've gone through...
And especially because...
crazy. You've lost stuff from your body.
She had such a traumatic birth experience. And then she said having her second child was so much better because she went in knowing that that could happen.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, I think it was a positive thing. It doesn't... Other than Tom Cruise, it seems like she pretty much got public, like, approval of sharing this message.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
People
she
were really happy that she...
Well, she started, she went to, like, legislation. They got, like, a new...
Some sort of something passed.
It was, like, some new research thing where they were going to research more about postpartum. Yeah. Which is, like, nice.
Which, fun fact, though, men can also get postpartum depression, they say. And it's usually if the woman gets it, that's usually the only time
they get it. It kind of makes sense, though, because if the woman gets it... Like Brooke said, she didn't want to hold the baby, mm-hmm. So, like, the men are kind of coming in to having to be that nurturer.
And, like, yeah, it can be. But, yeah, they say men can get postpartum. Well, and they also, like, because they say even men's hormones will change once they have a newborn baby. Like, different hormones happen, so it can happen. It's just much more rare. Anyway, then we jump to present day. She's with her family, still with Chris. We love Chris.
We love Chris.
Her daughters are now, like, late teens, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, they look like teenagers.
And she's talking to them at the dinner table. And, well, she talks about her daughter wants to get into modeling.
Yeah, and at first she told her no.
Been saying no, but now that she knows her daughter's going to do it, she's like, okay, well, now I have to be there for her and make sure she doesn't get in these bad situations that, like, I was in. But she has a conversation with her daughters at the dinner table. And it makes me sad.
Yeah, so she's asking her daughters, like, have you seen any of the stuff I'm in? And her daughters are like...
Not really.
No, not really. But we've seen stuff on TikTok. We've seen, like, some clips come up on TikTok. And she's like, okay, have you guys seen Pretty Baby? And they're like, no. And she was like...
Why?
Is that the one you're, like, 11 in? She was like, yeah. And she's like... Okay, and then they say, like, she's like, have you seen Blue Lagoon? She's like, well, aren't you, like, naked in that? And they're like, yeah, and they're like, well, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, like, you're my mom.
You're my mom. And she's like, well, her daughter is, like, telling her, like, pretty much she doesn't think it was right that she was in those movies mm-hmm. at that age. But she's trying to be like, but I'm not trying to, like,
she's saying, I'm not blaming you.
I'm not blaming you. I'm not trying to criticize you. And the whole time, Brooke's like, I understand, like, I'm not taking offense to it, but, like,
she
why are you saying that?
Right. And her daughter's, like, times are different. No one would make, well, they were like,
no one would put a 15-year-old
completely
at the
naked.
Age of 15 completely nude in a movie now.
And then the
Pretty
people
Baby
were playing
one, nude people.
She well, they were like, "Were you naked in Pretty Baby?" And she was like, "Yes." And they were
and like
"You
two
were
scenes.
11." And she was like, "Yes." And they were like, "That would never get made today. Like, no one wants to see that. That's wrong."
Well, and she was like, "But it was more.
It was
art." So Brooke is trying to say, like, it was art. It was based on the true story. In the 1900s, it was just made in the 80s, and they're like, "Okay,
we get that.
We get that." But would you let us be in a movie nude at 11? And she was like, no. She's like, exactly. That's what we're trying to say.
But it was almost like she never fully grasped that
why they were,
all this stuff that happened to her was wrong. And I think it's a coping mechanism of, like, I survived it. Yeah. I'm fine. I don't want to think about it.
As well, she was also surprised because they were talking about Euphoria and how...
oh, that was interesting.
Yeah, how...
Cindy Sweeney.
It's like
24.
It's like 24 playing a 16-year-old doing sex scenes. They're like, so it's different. Because I don't think she was understanding that. Right. She was like, well, they're doing it. And she's like, but you don't understand. They're not 16 playing a 16-year-old. They're 25 playing a 16-year-old and she was like, doing really? A scene like that.
It's almost like she didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah. Like, they were saying, like, they're the age of consent. They can give consent
and
to
then,
do those
well,
scenes.
And then she was like,
people.
Well, what about Instagram? And they were like, well, there's an age limit.
Also, she was saying her daughter was like would post like bikini photos, yeah. And her daughter's like, but I'm posting those. Nobody's telling me to post
right.
those. I'm making the decision to put that out on Instagram.
And it's also like a bikini photo is like
different.
It's different. Like that's something you wear in public to the beach or to the pool.
Yeah.
That's not being a child and being naked.
Yeah.
You know, like it's totally different. And it's she wasn't saying her daughters were wrong. It
no.
was just seeming like she wanted to hear their perspective and was like surprised.
Well, then she was
at
talking to her husband. She's like,
was.
You can be in this conversation too.
He was like, nope.
And her husband was just like, I'm just listening. And well, then she was saying, is she a hypocrite for saying that she wouldn't let her daughters at 11 be
mm-hmm.
nude in a movie? And they were like, no, because you didn't make that choice to be in that movie. You're a mom who would make that choice for us.
Yeah.
AKA, your mom
yeah,
made that
then,
choice for you to be in that movie.
Yeah, her husband was like, you weren't a mom then. So
yes.
you don't know what it's like. You didn't know what it was like.
To have a kid
to have
that would go
that
through
choice.
Something like that. Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, it's like, I think she objectively knows it was all, like, wrong. Like, it shouldn't have happened.
Yes.
But it's almost like she doesn't want to acknowledge, like, how bad it really was.
Yeah.
And it was a very interesting thing, and I think a lot of survivors of things like this build that coping mechanism of, like, it wasn't that bad. Because you have to survive. Like, especially if she was dissociating. I don't think I'm saying that right.
Disassociating. I think it's disassociating.
Especially if she was disassociating for a lot of the sexual filming,
yeah.
She might just have that block of, like, it wasn't that bad, but no, I would never let my daughters do that. So
yeah.
It is interesting to see, like, so many years later, like, her opinions looking back. And the
yeah.
fact that she never really put the blame on her mom. Like, she kind of called out some of her mom's behavior, but she was never, like, fully... It reminded me a
she
lot.
She never seemed like her mom putting her in those situations was a problem.
And I think it's complicated. I told you it reminded me of the Jeanette McCurdy book, I'm Glad My Mom Died, and of some of Drew Barrymore's conversations, where they're like, it's confusing because I look back now as an adult and realize what my mom did was wrong, but at the same time, she's my mom.
Yeah.
You know? And you're raised to always love your mom no matter what, even... though they did these terrible things to them.
Yeah.
And I just think it's... I don't know. I the whole documentary was really sad, but it's nice that she has seemed to come out of it and, like, built this family. Like, I think she always kind of wanted just... The way she talks about being at her dad's house was, like, she just wanted a normal family.
Yeah. She made it seem like going to her dad's house was almost, like, a safe haven.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's because there was just structure
mm-hmm.
there.
I think she needed structure. I
yeah.
do. It kind of, like, the whole way that they were talking about her while she was acting in her teens and in her, like, yeah, just her teens and childhood of, like, she's this beauty symbol, all this stuff. And then kind of as she gets older, it starts to phase out of, oh, like, she's, you know, she was this beauty star. Now she's funny.
Yeah.
Now she's smart. It reminded me of the just commentary in the Taylor Swift song Nothing New, where they're talking about, hold on, let me find the line. Oh, well, just the, and will you still want me when I'm nothing new? And, like, the whole song is talking about, like, you know, everyone loves me, and my cheeks are growing tired from turning red and faking smiles. Are we only biding time till I lose your attention and someone else lights up the room? And it's kind of like...
But that's essentially how Hollywood is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, they're famous for a time, and then if someone new comes, they're kind of replaced.
Yeah. And it's,
and like, I feel like at her time, that's really how, nowadays it's not as much.
It's a little better, but
there's so many people, like they said, that you, some people you don't even know are famous,
but it,
at her time, it was kind of like she was the face, and then she even says that she was the face of that certain era at that time, and it wasn't like she was even asked to be that, she just was.
And I think that it just reminded me a lot of, the whole time I was watching it and watching her like rise and kind of fall, just reminded me of that song, because the whole song is about Taylor Swift being a teenager, she's the new thing, and then like the end of the song is like, I know someday I'll meet her, it's a fever dream, the kind of radiance you only have at 17, she'll know the way, and say she got the map from me, I'll say I'm happy for her, then I'll cry myself to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, here's this new famous person coming in, now that you're old, quote unquote, and like taking your place, and it's kind of like, they're building Brooke Shields up to be this beauty icon. What happens next?
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't
How high can she go then
before she falls? And it just reminded me a lot of that. Like, because, especially because they heightened her at such a young age. Yeah. And they were selling this, like, teen fantasy. You know, like, you can be with this teen girl, which is gross.
Yeah.
But they were selling that fantasy. Like, what happens when she's not a teenager anymore? What happens when she can speak for herself? And decide, I don't want to do
Well, you
stuff
saw
like
what
this.
Happened.
Yeah, she
After
lost.
After college is when she started speaking for herself.
And she lost a lot of fame.
She lost a lot of, yeah. She
And respect. Yeah. And yeah, it was really sad. I mean, the documentary was about her, but it was also just about, like,
the industry
and, like, what, you know.
Kind of, like, what it was like to be a woman.
Yeah. What specifically women were going through during that time and, like, why it was happening in the
80s. Yeah.
And it's interesting. I really like documentaries that talk about, like, child stars. Like, just, like, or just the behind the scenes of the Hollywood industry.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, you view it as this life of glamour. But you can look back and since the beginning, there's always been a dark side. You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's very, I don't know, it's very interesting. And it makes
it's
you almost,
sad.
Like, sad that in a way you're, like, feeding into it. Because, like, you know, we follow these accounts and we like to hear about drama or just, like, whatever. And we're giving this money to encourage this. And but it's, like, at the same time,
you always want to know the latest gossip.
Right. It's, like, we're feeding into it a little bit, but I don't know. It's, like, a weird balance of people wanting to be famous.
Yeah.
I think child stars are different because they didn't really choose it. It's just what their life is.
Yeah, it's what they were.
Like, but people who are adults when they become famous is a little different. But it is really interesting. I would love more. Honestly, I want to hear about the teenage boy that was in Blue Lagoon. Like, what was he feeling? Like, that's got to be awkward for him, too.
Yeah. That whole scene made me really uncomfortable, too.
Yeah.
It's like with a mango or something.
Yeah, when he was like, kiss me.
She was like, you're all sticky. I'm like, oh, my God. This is like... so sexualized.
And they're so young.
Yeah. It was just really, I don't know.
I really want to see one day, there might not be one, but like a documentary like this about Macaulay Culkin.
Oh,
because, you know, he was like the child actor of the 90s, I feel like. And he did have a really rough time coming out of it. And he seems to have come out of it and like he has his family now, but I would be interested in seeing that too because I don't think the struggles in Hollywood are just women. I think women have different struggles.
Yeah.
I think men and women have different struggles in Hollywood, but I think both are exploited, especially as children.
I think any child that, like, that grows up in the end, like, it's just, it doesn't seem like a fun time. Because, like,
no,
you can't really act like a child.
And they have that that Christy Carlson Romano podcast talking to ex-child stars, and they all just have these... Some of them have positive experiences, but I think it depends on your parents a lot. Like, if your parents are really just letting you do what you want to do or if they're pushing you to do it. And I think we're going to get a lot more stories. A lot of these child stars, like, signed NDAs when they left, and so they can't really speak. But we got Jeanette McCurdy's book because she refused to sign it, and it was very eye-opening. And I think her writing that book is encouraging a lot of people to speak out. And Drew Barrymore has a talk show now, and she's brought it up multiple times of what it was like.
Yeah, people, see, I feel like the childhood star, like, when I think of, like, that, I think of Drew Barrymore.
I always,
like,
think of Macaulay Culkin for some reason.
I mean, I guess so, but, like, I just feel like he was kind of there, and then he wasn't. Like, Drew Barrymore, She was always there. And she stayed there. Yeah. Even in times when she was, like, on drugs, everything, she was still there. She never, like, faded out.
I think, I always think of Lindsay Lohan, too.
She kind of faded out.
Because she was having a baby. Because she was in jail, I think.
She's having a baby.
Well, I think of her a lot because she was... There's a lot of child actors who are good actors.
She was a big star.
A lot of child actors, they behave on set.
But she kind of like went off a little
older. Yeah, but she was like a really good actress.
Yeah, she was.
To be in Parent Trap and have to play yourself twice. Crazy.
Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
And I think of her a lot because the same thing. She starts rebelling and like everybody is so hard on her. She has to go to rehab. She might have gone to
jail. She rebel with Paris Hilton, didn't she?
Yeah, and they were like friends. And now she's come back and is healthy and talks about that. Mm-hmm. But it's like I want to hear her story. Amanda Bynes, she's still going through it.
Didn't she just get institutionalized or something again?
I think she has a conservatorship like Britney Spears did.
Oh, really?
Britney Spears. She's a teenager when she hit. And she, I think, even more so than these child actors because she was like a superstar. You know, like.
She was also very sexualized too.
Yes. And I think she too was also like similar to Brooke Shields, kind of innocent in real life.
Yeah, she was, but like, was very young.
Very sexualized.
Yeah.
And, like, again, getting critiques from these, like, grown adults. Yeah. Like, it's like she's 16.
The whole childhood star, it's all very, like...
It's kind of crazy
because I feel like it's very similar in certain aspects and then very different for each individual. Yeah.
Because Christy Carlson Romano talks about, like, you know, we shouldn't be using children in, like, adult movies. Because a lot of it's too mature for the kid. All this stuff. Like, different stories need to be written or different roles for children. And then she says, and then you have, like, a relatively, like, kind of new in the 90s were these shows that were for children, specifically. Like, they were never just children's shows before that. But once Disney Channel and Nickelodeon and all these kids' channels start, and so, like, yeah, you have to cast kids. But she's like, these sets need to be made safe for them.
You're casting kids in an adult world.
They need to be protected. There needs to be more laws to protect these kids from the media, from paparazzi. And then when they get to be rebellious teens, like, they should not be scrutinized. And they're doing normal teenage behavior and acting like they're murdering people, you know? Like, how much different would, like, Lindsay Lohan's story be if they just left her alone?
If she wasn't,
you know, like, if when she rebelled, they were like, she's just a normal teenager rebelling. But instead they blew it up, and then I think that's going to make it worse for her. Because she's like, well, they already think I'm bad, so I might as well keep going. And it's sad. And I think this documentary was very showing of that. That it's been going on for a long time. I mean, this was, what, 30-something years ago?
Yeah.
So, kind of crazy.
It is very, very crazy.
I definitely want a Lindsay Lohan documentary one day.
They had a Paris Hilton one.
Macaulay Culkin one, yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
It's good. You should watch it. It's on YouTube for free.
I'm not saying
Demi Lovato's documentaries are crazy, too.
Yeah.
She is, too.
Kind of, like, scared to watch those.
Those are...
You should watch intense, yeah. I don't know. I think there needs to be better ways to protect child actors. Also, I think there needs to be more paparazzi laws. I don't think just because you're famous, you should be followed and stalked everywhere. I think that's crazy. But whatever.
It is crazy.
I mean,
I don't think it's going to change anything.
No, it's not. There's too much money in it. I mean, they sell those pictures for so much money. But, I mean, but then you look at child stars, too, like Daniel Radcliffe and, like, Emma Watson and Rupert. I don't know Ron's name. They all seem to turn out fine.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just maybe the culture in England is a lot different than being in Hollywood.
I would say no, because Princess Diana.
Yeah. That whole paparazzi situation.
Yeah.
But maybe they were just more protected, you know? I don't know.
Could be a parents thing, like you said.
Yeah. Crazy. Love to hear y'all's opinions. That's
like Hilary Duff, I don't think wants her child ever, like, photographed. Like, she'll, like...
A lot of celebrities.
She'll talk to him and be like, he doesn't like this photograph taken. Can you just back up?
Jennifer Gardner's really big about trying to get laws passed that paparazzi can't take pictures of kids.
Love Jennifer Gardner. I mean, I love Hilary Duff, too.
Drew Barrymore has said, like,
I loved you, babe.
She doesn't. She is not going to let her kids do any acting until they're 18 and can make that choice themselves. Which is, like, sad. It's like these people have gone through this. And then they get criticized because they're like, well, this career made you rich and famous and have this life. It's like, okay, maybe, but was it worth it?
Yeah.
You know? This is just my life now. I can't change it. I don't want that for my kids.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Very sad. We want to hear y'all's opinions on these child actor cases.
You guys should watch the documentary. Even if you don't know who she is.
We didn't.
We didn't, and it was still very enlightening.
Yeah, it was.
Very sad. I cried like 3 times. Well, I'm a crier, so we all know that.
But it ends on a happy note. You see her with a family that she, I think, always wanted, and living like a calm life and just acting when she wants to, you know? So it has a happy ending.
In the roles that she wants to.
She gets to be a mom like she always wanted. Yeah. So it's interesting. Very interesting. And I do wonder if like different generations would have different opinions, like people who saw her at her height. If they would feel differently than we do. I don't think so though. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know either.
Anyway, follow us at chicks.in.flicks on Instagram. Email us at chicksinflicks23@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts. Subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. Shannon and Bailey signing off.
Bye.